Historically, when we see the Bible and read the stories in the Bible of all that God does, we see historically that God uses very ordinary means and very ordinary people, ordinary tools or vessels for His glory, to display His glory to the world. And what's interesting when we really consider it is that God, who desires for us to be holy and says, "Be holy as I am holy," actually chooses common things, common people to be His servants, common people to do what God intends for His servants to do. It's really pretty neat because in that, so God doesn't choose what's perfect, He chooses what's really not. Because when He does that, and He does extraordinary things through ordinary things, the glory of God is all the more so relevant and revealed in what takes place. And then what He does, He takes these common things, common people, and He fills them with His presence, His Spirit, His message of love and salvation. And likewise He does with us. As Christians are often referred to in the Bible as sheep. And a lot of people say sheep are dumb. Well, sheep are not dumb. Sheep, in fact, are very smart. Jesus Himself said, "My sheep know My voice. They listen to Me. They obey Me." He says, "I know My sheep. Nobody can take them out of My hands." And what this tells us is that in Christ Jesus, we have a new identity. That the old is gone, the new has come for anyone who is in Christ Jesus. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, but we're made new and renewed in Christ Jesus. It literally changes our identity. And you know, oftentimes you hear me say that we're not going to go to heaven because of what we do or because we're good people. We're going to go to heaven because of who we are in Christ Jesus. It's our identity that makes all the difference. That when we believe Jesus, having heard the message of the word of truth, like He told the Ephesians, having believed it, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside us, to set up His home inside us and secure us until the day of redemption. In other words, we're safe in the hands of the Good Shepherd Jesus until the day when He comes to take us to be with Him, is the theological concept. But our identity is changed in Christ Jesus. We're no longer the same as we were, and we're identified differently. In our text today, Paul refers to the believers as jars of clay, vessels of clay, or jars of clay. Now, what Paul's doing, he's writing to the Corinthians about the ministry of all believers, the supernatural ministry of all believers. Now, a lot of people say, "I don't have a ministry." I say, yes, you do. As Christians and as United Methodists especially, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe any believer, anyone who claims to be a believer, is also a minister and has a ministry, because that's what God designs us for. That's what God molds us and makes us with a purpose. Because in that ministry, using what God gives us, we reveal the glory of God through that. You know, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And what happens is when we display the glory of God by sharing with others all that God has done for us in the ministry that we each have, we share with others that relationship, much in the same way we would share where we really like to go to eat, or something that's happened to us really good lately, or maybe a good book or something. We share that, so in effect, why can't we share Jesus with the rest of the world? And people say, "Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's not my thing. That's not what I'm called to do. I don't really know the Bible." And I say, "Well, that's true. You can't, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because what's in us is greater than he who's in the world." You see, and this is the idea Paul is trying to say here to them. You have a ministry. Through God's mercy, we have this ministry, and we don't lose heart. We have a ministry. He says, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants. For the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In other words, what he's saying is our ministry is that God has shown light into our hearts, and our ministry is that we allow that light to shine out of us, revealing the glory of God through Jesus Christ, the one who was God in the flesh. So, Paul concludes by saying, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, when we share this treasure that's in every single Christian, what we're doing is we're revealing the glory of God to show God's all-surpassing power. We share our stories. We share our circumstances. We share our faith, how God has built us. We have a treasure in jars of clay. Every one of us is a vessel of clay. You know, we're created from the dust, the dirt, the clay of the earth in Adam, and we're descended from Adam. We are earthly vessels. We are vessels of clay, jars of clay, and we have a treasure in us. That's what he's saying. And what we do when we allow this treasure to be poured out of us, then God is glorified. In Jesus' day, they had these clay vessels, these earthen vessels, like you see the picture of inside the bulletin there today. They had these earthen vessels, and they would store stuff in them. Of course, they'd store water in them. They'd store grain, wheat, and barley, and things like that. They'd store sugar and flour on all different size vessels of clay. And you see, those vessels of clay were not sometimes they got destroyed. Sometimes they got broken, they got cracked. And then they would let out whatever was inside, it would seep out. And you'd think they'd become useless and be thrown away, but you know what they did? They even took those old crack pots and used them. They broke them into pieces and they wrote on them. And archaeologists now today find them and find things written on them, scripture written on them. We call them potsherds. And they're part of the ancient manuscripts and ancient things that we find today that validate history and validate God's word in those potsherds. So even a cracked pot can be valuable. And I don't know about you, but that comforts me. So as Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. We're earthen vessels to show God's all-surpassing glory. He says, sure, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we don't despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. He said, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. In other words, what he's saying is by carrying around the death of Jesus, in the same way that Jesus died for you and I, we die for others. We sacrifice for others so that others may experience the hope of life that Jesus gave us by dying for us. And therefore, the life of Jesus is also revealed. We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Sacrificial giving, sacrificial living for the sake of others. He says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, with that same mindset, we also believe, and therefore we speak. So many people today believe, but they're not speaking. They're not allowing the contents, the treasure, to be poured out. And unless the treasure is poured out, what really good is the vessel. We're not storage vessels. We're not warehouses. We're not banks. We are vessels that are used to be poured into and poured out to others. The church of Jesus Christ is a vessel in which things are of God are poured into and poured out to the world. We are a vessel of distribution of the grace of God, so to speak. We have a treasure that is given us, and we pass that treasure on in the church because that's who we are as Christians. We say we believe, that same spirit of faith, we believe and we speak because we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us. And we have confidence of this message. We speak because we have confidence. We believe it and we know it's going to happen. He's going to raise us from the dead and present us holy in his presence. Paul says, all this is for your benefit so that grace The grace is reaching more and more people and may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. In other words, we allow this to be poured out, what's inside us, as a means of grace to other people, so that they might also become thankful to God and experience God's grace and His glory. So Paul says, we don't lose heart. Even though we suffer all these things, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Day by day, God's pouring His grace. He's pouring Himself, His presence into our lives. And we don't lose heart because though we struggle, though we are hard-pressed, we're not crushed, though we're perplexed, we're not in despair, though we're abandoned, we're not destroyed, not struck down. See, why? Because God keeps pouring it into us. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed. And our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of our troubles. People say, why is God allowing this to happen? I say, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I can tell you one thing. There's good in it, and God can be glorified in it. You see, why is it that maybe we get cracked or chipped? The things of our lives today, God allows them. Well, He allows them to help us grow in grace. It builds the contents inside so that when we sit with someone, we can say, well, I can't tell you where it is in the Bible, but let me tell you my story. And we share our story. We pour out the contents of the grace and glory of God for the benefit of others. And he said, then finally, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what's seen is temporary and what's unseen is eternal. We don't fix our eyes on the outward. You know, in our culture today, we look so much at the outward appearance of people. We say, wow, they're a good person. They're really a good person. They do a lot. They must be Christians. They're going to go to heaven. And I say, how do you know? Well, look at them. They're a good person. They share what they have, and you know, they help others. And I say, I know a lot of atheists that are good people. I know a lot of good people, good-hearted people that help others and donate a lot of money who don't believe in God. You see, some people say, well, watch how we act because our lives might be the only Bible somebody else reads. I don't agree with that, because I want to tell you something. You can live right next to somebody all your life, help them out, do good to them, and they never know the hope that's inside you. As Paul told Timothy, always be prepared to give a witness or a testimony of the hope that's inside you. They can never know that you're the way you are because of Jesus Christ. And people say, I can't do that. Oh, it's hard. Can't talk about Jesus. Well, I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus here or there. In our country, we are free to talk about Jesus anywhere we want. We might get persecuted, and we will. But we're still, first of all, free to talk about Jesus. Secondly, we are called to speak about the gospel to others. Thirdly, it's the very thing that God molded us as Christians to be, that in Christ Jesus we're a new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. But it's not the outward appearance, because we are just earthen vessels. What's more important is what's inside that earthen vessel, that we share or pour out the love of Jesus Christ with the whole world around us. You see, that's the important thing Paul is saying here. We have this treasure inside us. And if we don't say anything, if we don't speak and share the truth, the world isn't going to know the truth. Because we are God's vessels. You and I are more than just a person. We are consecrated, holy vessels of God through Jesus Christ. You say, oh man, you don't know me. You don't know me, Pastor. I'm saying, you folks, you don't know me either. Do I really feel I can believe that I'm a holy vessel? No, I don't feel that way. But the Bible tells me that I am special because of who I am in Jesus Christ. And again, I'm going to say it again. The thing that makes the devil the most angriest is when we do something, we say we're Christians, we profess to believe in Jesus, and we still sin, which we're going to till the day we close our eyes and the sod folds over us. And the devil says, look at your people. Look at your people. They're sinners. And God says, I know. I know, but I still love them. He says, what? I still love them. How can you love them? They're sinners. They've broken your law. And God says, but I put my Holy Spirit in them. They're mine. They belong to me. They're my possession. I love my possession. You see? And someday, we're going to be perfect when we enter into glory with Jesus. He says you're going to have new resurrection bodies. We're going to be perfect in Christ Jesus. But until then, we are earthen vessels with a treasure inside that God created us to share with the whole world about the gospel of Jesus. Not for our sake, not so we look good and people say, wow, they're good people. They really do a lot. They're really good people. No, it's for the glory of God, you see. So that we can share God and the whole world can hear more of God and hopefully be thankful to God, and the world will overflow with the glory of God. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. When I ask you today, what does your mouth, what does my mouth speak out in the world when we're around people? Because it's expressing the overflow of the heart in the way we speak as we allow God to use us to pour out what's inside. I thought about these things, about this vessel concept, and about how God chooses ordinary things to put his glory in for his purpose. First, I thought about Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was made out of gopher wood. We don't know what gopher wood is. Scholars can lean one way or another based on all kinds of language things, but we don't really know what gopher wood is. But it doesn't matter, because if it did, the Bible would really explain it to us. But it was made out of gopher wood. It tells us the ark was made out of wood. All right? Was it a perfect vessel? No, because it needed to be sealed. It was sealed with pitch, wasn't it? It was covered with something, and sealed to protect it and make it serve its purpose, so that it would save the animals and save God's people. It was covered. So God used an ordinary wooden vessel to put his people in and all the animals. Secondly, I thought about the Ark of the Covenant in Exodus 25. God commanded Moses and his people to make this ark, this container. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was not like you see it on Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Ark of the Covenant was about 25 inches by 25 inches by, I think, around 45, something like that, was the Ark of the Covenant. It had the tablets with the law on them, the Ten Commandments. It had a jar of manna, and it had Aaron's staff that had budded, okay, in it. And it was carried around by Israel, carried into battle. And everywhere the ark was, the Israelites were successful. That's why the enemies wanted to capture the ark, because they believed that if they had the ark, then the power would be with them. Well, it didn't work that way. Actually, it became a curse to those who captured the ark, and they actually even brought it back to Israel and put it in place and said, no, you can have it. We don't want it. It's kind of a funny story in the Bible. But the Ark of the Covenant was made out of acacia wood. Acacia wood is a hard wood. It's a sturdy wood, which would have made sense carrying the ark all over like they did. It would have needed to be sturdy. But again, it was overlaid. It was covered with a covering of gold. And the covering of gold shone the light that would shine on it all and reflect the light that shone on it. And it was covered to protect it, you see, and protect the contents. Thirdly, I thought about the basket that Moses was put in. It was a papyrus or a papyrus basket made out of reeds that his mother wove together to put him in the Nile. Remember the story? So he wasn't killed. But again, the basket was not complete until it was sealed with pitch and tar. The pitch and tar was designed to, again, protect it and seal it up so that the basket didn't leak and the baby didn't die. You see? All these were ordained by God for a purpose, covered with a protective, valuable coating. I want to tell you folks something. You and I are covered with a protective, valuable coating, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
We are covered, folks. And the enemy cannot destroy us, and he tries to penetrate into our minds and tell us that this is all bogus stuff. He tries to tell you, you're nothing, you're no good, you're a sinner. And you tell him, I am ordained by Almighty God in Jesus Christ. I am a valuable vessel of God. And even though I might become broken, I am still useful to God until the day that he renews me and restores me. And he's going to continue to fill me and fill me. And because I'm thankful, I want to pour that out to others and tell others about it. You see, in the same way that these were covered, we are covered with the blood of Christ to reflect the glory of God, to protect us, to keep us from sinking. And lastly, I thought the most important of all is a little wooden manger in a stall in Bethlehem made out of wood. Why in the world would God choose such a lowly place as Bethlehem and an old wooden trough to lay his son, the Savior of the world? You see? And in the same way, sometimes he uses these unlikely circumstances and puts us in them so that as we go through them, we can look back and say, wow, that was awesome what God did. And we pour it out on somebody else and we share it with somebody else. You know the story I told last week about being in the boat and running out of gas right in the middle of the rapids, and there I was halfway between being scared and being mad. But what did I do? I reached for my jug of gas, the vessel, you know, the container, got back on the back of the boat and poured the gas in the motor, started it back up and took back off and kept going right in the rapids, going backwards, by the way. If that vessel would have been empty, it would have been worthless. You see, it wasn't the vessel, the container that was valuable. It was what was in it. It made all the difference in the world. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. He puts his Holy Spirit in us for a purpose. He creates us new in Christ Jesus. And when someone says, well, I don't really have a ministry. I don't know what to do. All I can say is please pray about it, because we are all ministers. We have a treasure. The world needs the treasure that's inside us. And if we don't share it, nobody else is gonna. And storing it up for ourselves is very selfish. In fact, it's not what God intends for us to do. And I believe that when we try and store it up for ourselves, God eventually cracks us and allows that to flow out for the good of others into another vessel that he can use in one way or another. Historically, God uses ordinary means and ordinary people. I don't know about you, but that's me. You see, I'm just an old crack pot, and I don't know why God uses me, but he does, and he puts me in these precarious situations so I can share those stories, and you never know. Maybe I'll reach one person. If you reach one person in your lifetime and talk about Jesus to one person in your lifetime, that's one person who heard the gospel that may not have if you had not shared that. Secondly, God might have ordained and planned for that person to hear it from you, and when you come in contact with them, not sharing it stifles and darkens God's plan. We have a calling, folks. We're vessels. Vessels of God. We are earthen vessels with a wonderful treasure inside us, and we're called to share it. So I pray that in 2020 we find ways to do that with the world. Talk to the world about Jesus and tell them about the surpassing glory of God and how he saved you and I. Let's pray.